Welcome to the Locked On Steelers podcast. I'm your host, Chris Carter, bringing you your daily dose of all things on the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've made it to Wednesday. It's hump day. It's also April Fool's Day. Don't be pranking people out there too hard with coronavirus jokes. It's not funny. Anyways, we have a lot to talk about today. The NFL made some official moves yesterday. One, they announced that they still plan to open up the season on time, and they've officially approved that they're going to expand the playoffs to 14 total teams. I'll start off the show talking about that. Then, we'll be talking about what the Steelers' plans are, as Kevin Colbert talked to the media about his plans for the Steelers moving forward. If you're new to the Locked On Steelers podcast, please hit that subscribe button. We are everywhere on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, anywhere where podcasts are hosted. You also please leave a 5-star review and a positive comment if you're enjoying the show. Positive comments with 5-star reviews will get read at the end of the show. Let's get into it. All right, everyone, it's hump day. We're making it through the week here. It's also April, the best month of the year. March has ended. Of course, it really hasn't been the best month of this year. Or has it? I mean, this year hasn't been great. 2020, get together. Point is, my birthday was last month, so yay for that. But, whatever. So, let's get into April. Let's start talking about stuff. I'm going to start off with some national stories here. We got some interesting stuff going on. The NFL made some more official announcements go into what they're planning for this upcoming season. One, to start it off, the NFL does confirm that they are planning to start the season on time in September. Jeff Pasch, who's the NFL general counsel, was on a conference call and said that it is his expectation that the NFL starts on time. He said he's not certain that anything will happen because everything's just always evolving. But he said right now the NFL plans on it being a full season, on it being a complete season, and one that goes that starts at normal times. And I think that's where the NFL has to plan, right? Because they can't plan on just moving it just to move it. And if the circumstances come to it that they have to move it, they'll make plans at that point, and we'll see how that goes. They've seen the rest of the sports world have to shut down. You know, I'm sure the NFL is kind of hoping that they will be able to be the driving force. And what would be more... what would be a better way to set everything back to normal after a crazy winter, spring, and summer with all that's going on with the COVID-19 pandemic across the world than Americans getting a chance to enjoy the national pastime of football and being able to use that as a sense of normalcy? So I get why the NFL's pushing that. Also, they know that, I mean, with everyone starved for just things to do and enjoy, The NFL knows they're sitting on a prime opportunity. That's also why they're not budging from doing the draft on time. Now, granted, the draft's also different because you don't have to be around people to do the draft. You can do it by phone, by internet. There's so much technology nowadays. I mean, it can easily happen. So that to me is no big of a deal. But I think it's interesting to see that the NFL is kind of just maintaining their course. They're not going to be pushed off of it. They want to make sure that they're still going to be that organization that brings back entertainment to the country. But the big news that came from the NFL was that its owners officially voted to approve of this new playoff plan that's going to have 14 teams. So that means now each conference for this upcoming season, not next season, not the 2021 season, but 2020, what we're about to walk into, is that season's going to have 14 total playoff teams. That means 7 teams in each conference. Now, if you're new to this talk, because I know I've gone over this show, I'm going to go over it just one more time. This means each conference only gets one team with a bye, and that, of course, being the number one seed of each conference. The 2 seed will play the 7 seed, the 3 seed will play the 6 seed, and the 4th seed will play the 5 seed, and then all teams from that round will advance. The 1 seed will play the lowest seed remaining. Or the highest seed, you know what I mean, the worst. Anyways, the point is that this is going to be very interesting to see how the NFL approves of this, because there's 2 sides to this debate, right? There's one side that says, well, this is stupid because the 7th seed is never going to do anything anyways. Who would have wanted to see the 8-8 Steelers in the playoffs? I mean, other than Steelers fans, of course, every one of you guys wanted to see this. I mean, come on, there's Steelers. You wanted to see them in the playoffs and just see what would have happened. But as far as like what progress would have been made, you know, how hard of a push that this a seventh seed could make, could they ever, you know, could they do what the Steelers did by going on the road three games in a row and make it to the Super Bowl? Well, you gotta say the Titans were the sixth seed this past year, and they were one step from doing that against the Chiefs. You know, it's definitely interesting, especially when you consider that over the past 20 seasons, there's only one year, and that being 2003 with Tommy Maddox and Bill Cowher, that the Steelers wouldn't have made the playoffs. Every other season, they have been either in the playoffs or the team that just missed the playoffs. And that's crazy to think about. It also means that Mike Tomlin never would have missed the playoffs. And what does that mean for the Steelers moving forward right now? I mean, think about it. The Steelers are always in the mix. There hasn't been a time, I mean, you have to really work to find the last time that you watched a Steelers game that didn't have a hope that they could make the playoffs in the season. And that's something I think that is truly special, and it's telling of how good the organization is at making sure that they're reloading, that they're being competitive every year, and they're giving their best shot. With this new format, remember, last year, they were the seventh seed, and that was a year in which they had Devlin Hodges at quarterback, Mason Rudolph at quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger wasn't there, they didn't have a ground game, their offense ground to a halt. It was horrible. And now, they get Ben Roethlisberger back. Now, looks like they might invest into that run game. They've got a number one tight end to go ahead of Vance McDonald, which allows him to be a number two, which could give them a very interesting balance of how the offense works and what kind of weapons are available to Ben Roethlisberger. So you put all that together with the same defense that, you know, might be missing a few depth pieces, but all of its starters are there, all of its stars are there, all of the talent they need's there, and what they're looking for could be right in front of them. So this could be a really good opportunity for the Steelers to continue their run of being one of the better franchises in the NFL. For even if they have a mediocre year, if something goes wrong, if Ben gets injured again, they might be more prepared with how to deal with that. But even so, right now, the Steelers are in a very good place. I have a hard time seeing them miss the playoffs under this current format. On the flip side, you know, so there's, you know, like I said, there's two sides to this debate. There's a side that says, well, you know, no team, you know, if you're the seventh seed, you don't deserve to make it anyways. But then there's the other side that says, well, what if, you know, you might, it's still more fun. It's still more enjoyable. It's still more playoff football. Isn't that what we want? I for one, here's my take. I enjoyed the fact that the NFL's playoffs were only 12 teams. I felt like that was more exclusive. It's not like the NBA where 16 teams make the playoffs, and the same thing goes for the NHL, and neither of them have as many teams as the NFL with 32. 16 in the NFL would mean half the NFL makes it. I always think that if you're in the playoffs, you should be better than just the upper half. You should be among the best. And I've always liked the idea of division winners plus, you know, a couple wild cards. So, with all that in consideration, I think that this is absolutely going to make money, and I'm sure come January, everyone's going to love this plan. But, you know, there's going to be people that gripe about it now because we need things to gripe about. It's March, it's no longer March. Ha ha, April Fools, gotcha. But it's April, and we just want something to do. All right, before I get sad that there's nearly nothing on, because, you know, I'm a football guy, but I love basketball. I love sports in general. I do love when baseball gets started, even though I know it's kind of like, if you ever seen that scene from Family Guy where they say, welcome to the Mets season opener, and then here's the opening pitch, and the season's over. That's kind of how it is for the Pirates right now. I mean, yeah, it's rough. I'm not going to start talking about the Pirates. This is a Steelers podcasters. Don't talk about the Pirates. We don't need to be depressed. Okay, I'm back, guys. Sorry about that. Long day. Anyways, let's get to our first break. Then it's time to talk about the Steelers. Interesting stuff from Kevin Colbert. Interesting stuff from stories that I've been hearing. All that and more right after this. All right, we're back here. So let's talk about some stuff Kevin Colbert said. So this segment, I'm going to talk about Kevin Colbert and what he's saying the Steelers are doing to kind of deal with what's been going on in the world, and just that, you know, with everything that's been happening, travel restrictions are up, so that means that they can't go and visit players, which means that they can't go to pro days. Pro days aren't even happening anymore, and this limits their chance to go talk to players. And someone asked me in my mailbag a couple weeks back, you know, how much of an impact does it happen when the Steelers look at the combine? And, you know, I brought up the, you know, they'll take the combine into consideration, and they'll take pro day performances into consideration. But what really matters to them is when they talk to a guy, how serious is he? How, you know, what is his work ethic? What do his coaches say about him? You know, is he going to be the guy that goes the extra mile for his team? Is he going to be the guy that you can always count on to be the first in the room, last out of it? Those type of things really go a long way. And the Steelers can't really assess that in person right now because no one can get to them. So Kevin Colbert, of course, you know, right now, normally this would just be owners meetings. This would be them going through their prospect, the prospects that they're looking at. There'd be a lot more discussions, and things would be in kind of a full swing right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, but it can't be because of COVID-19 and everything that's going. So Kevin Colbert was talking about this to the media in a conference call yesterday. And there's a good, Dale detailed this pretty well on our website. So you can go to dkpittsburghsports.com right now and check it and check out what he wrote. Also, if you are a person listening to this and you're working on the front lines right now, as if you're in the pharmacy, you're providing healthcare services, you're helping with grocery, you're working in a grocery store, you know, anything along the lines that you're doing one of those essential jobs that's really helping people keep their lives together or keeping people healthy, dkpittsburghsports.com is offering a free year-long subscription to everyone that does this. So go to dkpittsburghsports.com. We have that offer there. It's also on our Twitter page at dkpgh sports. You can check us out there. As long as you hit them up and say, hey, I'm one of these, we will work to get you a free year-long subscription to dkpittsburghsports.com. And that's literally free. Like, you wouldn't have to worry about this until this time next year, which hopefully everything is back to normal by then. But I continue. So here's a bit of what Colbert was saying. He said, what we're doing, this would have been the week where we have the owners meetings, that we would have been going back to pro days on Thursdays and doing some interviews on site at places. What we're going to do, the visits we'd planned when we got back from the owners meetings, we're going to do video and audio interviews with those players. That's good access. It's not as good as sitting down with a guy in person, but we'll make the most of it and get the information we need. Now, again, this is huge for the Steelers. They're looking at guys who they like the talent on, they like the tape on, and they probably have, you know, every coach has connections, every organization has connections to coaches across the country, and they have guys that they trust, so they'll have guys that they rely on to give them information. But then you gotta go test that information, right? You gotta go see what players have. For example, Paxton Lynch was a first round draft pick by the Broncos, and now he's on the Steelers roster in the practice squad. But the whole thing with Paxton Lynch was, as much of a prototype quarterback that he looked like, when you looked at his height and his arm and everything, you know, if you asked someone about his work ethic, people would have told you that he played Fortnite all night and, you know, all before practices, and he didn't work as hard as other players did. And that was what he was, that was something that he was known for. And it was even the case in the NFL. And that's part of why he never caught on at Denver. So, you know, teams get that opportunity to interview players. And sometimes you're fooled, sometimes you're wrong. You know, the Steelers years ago thought that about offensive tackle Mike Adams, who they drafted with a second round pick in the 2012 draft. And then, you know, Mike Adams, you know, they thought that he wasn't a fit. And then Mike Adams drove to the Steelers facility from Columbus and pleaded his case, and they took that as like, man, this kid's serious about turning his life around. And then, of course, Mike Adams got caught in like a suspicious dealing. I think there was like he was attacked or something. It was years ago. But point being that, you know, sometimes the impression you get is wrong, but it's important to at least gather that impression. And I mean, look across the Steelers' time, they're usually right about guys. You know, they, Kevin Colbert, when they invest a high pick into somebody, they're usually both very good, and they are contributing to the team atmosphere in a positive manner. I mean, You know, for all people that are probably thinking like, well, Antonio Brown, don't forget, he was a 6th round draft pick. He was a late stab that they needed a playmaker, and they were like, yeah, you know, let's add him to the wide receivers list, because that year they also drafted Emmanuel Sanders. And some people might say Le'Veon Bell. Well, again, Le'Veon Bell wasn't a headache as much as Antonio Brown was. He just wanted to get paid, and that's, there's nothing against that, but he's a hard worker, as Antonio Brown is a hard worker. But, you know, and honestly, I don't think anyone, if you go back to as far as 2014, you know, people can say that, oh, I always knew I didn't like him, but, you know, at the same time, you could not see any of his statements and think, man, that guy is going to blow a gasket in 2019 and never come back to the team. So this is the importance of getting these kind of interviews, because now what Kevin Colbert's going to be able to do, all these guys that we've been talking about, you know, these star receivers, these running backs, these linemen, you know, these linebackers, these edge rushers, these defensive backs, all these guys that they've been looking at, that they're considering, and now they're going to get to sit down with them and say, okay, what do you do? How do you start your week? What are the things that you focus on? You know, let's talk game. Let's talk, okay, this, you're in this kind of situation, and the other team does this kind of play. What is your reaction? How do you think through this? Now you get to test people's wits, test their ethics, and test like how they just process everything. That stuff goes a very long way, guys. And so rest assured that Kevin Colbert talking like this means that the Steelers, they've already been well ahead of that. I think it's interesting. Now Colbert kind of went on and did admit that there were some difficulties here without the pro days. He said, we don't have pro days, and most likely will not with the restrictions put out until April 30th, but we're prepared for that. We did evaluations throughout the fall. Between the scouts and myself, we probably had 3 or 4 looks at all the top prospects. Once the season is over, we get the coaches involved. We're missing the pro days and the personal visits we would be doing. But all the meetings, we've been in the meetings for a week and a half, and the meetings we've been doing are great. We're doing them from our homes. So far, so good. We've had no complaints. Again, the Steelers are prepared for this. They're always going to be prepared for this. This is what they do. They don't, they don't just slack around. I mean, their scouting department is pretty strong. They got guys that are always active, always finding out the next one that they got, finding the next prospect. So I would bank on that the Steelers have a plan for this. But what's their plan? Who are they targeting? Kevin Colbert also talked about that. And it shouldn't come as a surprise to some of you. But I'll talk about that right after this. All right, we're back. So let's get into the other bit of the news. And this was some specifics given from Kevin Colbert, in that the Steelers do plan to address the running back position in the NFL draft. Now, if you've been listening to me for months, I've been trying to tell y'all, this is the plan. The Steelers are heavily looking at the running back position, and they're probably going to get the opportunity to draft one of the top 5 and even the top 4 running backs with that 2nd round pick at 49th overall. Now, this is interesting stuff here. Again, you can also read this on DKPittsburghSports.com from Dale Lally. But you go into this, and you can, and the Steelers, they know, I mean, and they alluded to this earlier. They talked about how they were disappointed in how James Conner wasn't able to finish the season. They're not disappointed as in like, oh, shame on James Conner, just disappointed like, they hoped that he would be able to finish it out. So Colbert talked about this some more, and he said this about James Conner. James is a Pro Bowl player who had an injury-type season last year. We're confident he will be prepared physically to face that challenge. That won't be a question. It's our job to make sure we have options and alternatives and competition. That's what we'll be working on. So immediately, that means to me, when they're saying it's our job to make sure that we have options and alternatives and competition, that means that, you know, if they're making sure about it, they would have, if they were sure that they had it on the team, they'd say, you know what, we have Benny Snell. He's going to have competition. They didn't say that. He said it's our job to do this. And he didn't say that they've already done it. So to me, again, this seems to me like they're going to go get somebody. Now, maybe it's not the 2nd round pick. Maybe it's the 3rd round pick that they got for Le'Veon Bell. Who knows? But I look at this and I'm just thinking, man, like, the Steelers may be in a very good spot to address the running game. And remember, James Conner's a power runner. He prefers to have a lead blocker. He prefers to, you know, get up, you know, get to the second level and run some people over, and be physical and not be afraid to use that part of his game. You could still combine him with a faster back, and that's something that I think the Steelers have been missing for years. You know, there's Jonathan Taylor, there's scat backs like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. J.K. Dobbins, I think, is extremely explosive, and he would also fit that category. But these are all, and DeAndre Swift, of course, but these are all guys who I think the Steelers could use to just change the dynamics of their backfield. It's been, since Le'Veon Bell, they've had power back after power back after power back come through their offense. And that's fine. I mean, Le'Veon Bell worked. And in the first year that Connor really had a chance to play, he worked. I mean, you remember, I think it was against the Browns at home, and at one point he's just plowing through them. And at one point I'm sitting there in the press box and I hear Connor, Connor, Connor. And I'm like, my gosh, this man has taken over the city. And so Connor still has that appeal, and people do like him, but the Steelers are also being realistic right now in that his injuries are too much to count, to just discount and just be like, you know, whatever. We're just gonna sit back and just deal with it. No, they're gonna go address it. They're gonna go find something, and they know they don't have Jalen Samuels to really count on to be the, you know, to come in and challenge James Conner. Benny Snell, I think, didn't show enough in his rookie year. It doesn't mean that he won't show more. It also doesn't mean that he's going to he can't improve and maybe take a spot this upcoming season. But it does mean that they haven't found that answer at the running back position, and they need an answer. There's also Kareth White, but again, Kareth White is probably not going to make the team if they draft a running back. Again, you got a whole bunch of people there. I mean, even Cam Akers of Florida State, I like him as an athlete too. There's so many answers that the Steelers could have at 49, and even if they just have a dynamic back, maybe not even a dominant ground game, but just a dynamic back that forces people to have to consider them and gives Ben Roethlisberger an easy option to run the ball to, that could very well just be the key that helps balance the Steelers' offense, make things easier for Ben Roethlisberger in his older age, and allows him to kind of say, okay, now I can pick at these weaknesses. But again, this is what I've been talking about for quite some time. Like, I just see the way the Steelers are developing. They know they need to run the ball. It's a way to protect Ben Roethlisberger. It's a way to protect their defense. They weren't able to run the ball last year. And if they are able to this year, it could make the difference. Kevin Colbert continued, you know, in his discussion. He said, the challenge for James and the challenge for us is James is always going to come in great physical shape. That's never been an issue since his rookie year. His Pro Bowl season, he was able to stay healthy. Last year, he wasn't. That wasn't from a lack of preparation or overuse. James got hurt oftentimes last year early in the game. What we talked about with him was that this is an acute injury. It happened. We know we're going to get through it. That's how we're looking at this upcoming season. I think it's good that Colbert is essentially backing up James Conner, saying like, you know, hey, guy, we still believe in you, but we can't put all our eggs in one basket. And they absolutely can't. I mean, that would be silly. You're going to put yourself in a position where you're not as strong, like you're going to say, oh, he's hurt. Well, that's going to be the running game this season. No, they're not going to do that. They're smart. Kevin Colbert's been doing this for a very long time. And also, I think that they would help to diversify how they can attack. Benny Snell really didn't solidify the best type of ways that he runs with this offense. And again, James Conner's a power runner. They could really use a guy that runs well behind zone blocking schemes because, you know, or is a slasher and hurts you for leaving open a gap. Those type of things will make teams have to consider different options because now if I'm a defensive coordinator and I see James Conner on the field, normally the job of an inside linebacker is to read the guards and the guards will take you to the play. But now you're kind of anticipating if it's a running situation, you know, if James Conner's going away, you see that point guard, it's a very big tell. Now, you could call play action with that and still work off of it, but with James Conner, you know, it's not as easy to do that from all these different looks, because when it's just a zone look, it's like, yeah, you know what, James isn't really that effective in this situation either, so let me just not bite on this play action right here because it was a zone run, not a power run. But you need guys that are effective and scare people. You need guys that are going to attract attention and make it easier for the offense to open up, because the defenses are thinking, oh gosh, you know, how are we going to stop this guy? I mean, this was why the Steelers offense was supposed to score 30 points a game when they had, you know, back in like 2017 and 18, because they had Ben Roethlisberger, they had Antonio Brown, they had Le'Veon Bell, they had Martavis Bryant sometimes. But you had all these guys who were just weapons, and the guy and the threat that they posed. And that kind of juice, that kind of exposure, it forces other teams to have to consider them. And a perfect example, AFC Championship game against the Patriots. Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are in the game. So Le'Veon Bell goes out early, and then the Patriots just ramp up. They just cover, they blanket Antonio Brown with double and triple coverages at times. And Ben Roethlisberger never really checks out of it enough. You know, Eli Rogers and Darius Heyward-Bey were the other receivers available, or Sammy Coates with broken hands. It was just a rough situation, and they had no answers. But again, when there are viable threats on the field, the Patriots have to honor them. I mean, and that's something else. If you look back how many times the Steelers played the Patriots with an all-healthy team, it rarely happened, if ever. And I know people are like, well, you know, healthy. Yeah, you know, people always get hurt in football, Carter. But go back and look at a lot of those games and who was missing. You know, you had Le'Veon Bell missing a lot of games. You had Ben Roethlisberger missing some games. You know, if Antonio Brown was out, Ryan Shazier, you know, major players, X-Factor guys that changed games around for the Steelers, missed a lot of those games against those Patriots. And that AFC Championship game is another perfect example, because, you know, with Marcus Wheaton was on IR, Martavis Bryant wasn't available, Le'Veon Bell got hurt. It was bad thing after bad thing after bad thing. And it didn't, and it became a problem. But when you have those weapons available, now as a defensive coordinator, I can't double team Antonio Brown while I also have to double team Juju Smith-Schuster, while I also have to keep my mind on the run. It forces people to have to overload what they're considering, and that could be problems. So again, this is why I think they need not just a back, but a dynamic back, a guy who's going to make people miss, a guy who's going to make defenses think twice about just leaving him. You know, we'll just put our third best linebacker on him in this play, and we'll just hope for the best. And then all of a sudden, you know, you got to make them pay for those type of decisions. So then eventually what happened is maybe their best linebacker will cover him. Maybe maybe a safety will cover him, and that opens up opportunities for other people. So again, totally get the plan for running back. I'm telling you guys, that's a very likely the move. I told John Ledyard, and he agreed with me. You know, after we talked about it, and he's very adamant that running back is the least valuable position to draft that early right now. But when you look at the players that are probably going to be available, and you look at the opportunities that are there, and what the Steelers need right now with offense and playmakers and getting back to scoring in the red zone, they need that dynamic ball guy with the ball in his hands. So I think Kevin Colbert's on the right track. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Steelers podcast. Hope your week is going fine and everyone's staying safe and healthy out there. I know I'm trying my best going out into work every day out here. If you want to follow me, I'm Chris Carter, show host here at Locked On Steelers. You can follow me on Twitter at Carter Critiques. If you follow me, I'll follow you back, here with an at, here with a DM. Always down to chat with you guys. Thanks to those who do chat with us. We do have the Facebook group, Locked On Steelers. If you're on Facebook, just search Locked On Steelers. Ask to join the group. I'll add you as soon as possible. Sometimes, again, if I don't get to you right away with anything, with either adding you or responding to a message, just know it's sometimes just because I'm busy and I don't have my phone on me, or I can't because of whatever reason. But eventually I will get to it. Also, if you're listening to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, or if you just have Apple Podcasts and you listen to it somewhere else, please leave us a 5-star review as well as a positive comment. As long as it's safe for work, I will read it on the show. I've already done some. Did one, in fact, this week. Also, If you want to help me out, I'm in Pittsburgh Media March Madness, which is a March Madness bracket where there were 64 sports personalities in Pittsburgh that were put on it. I was a 16 seed. I upset in the first round. I beat a 1 seed, and then I worked my way all the way to the Final Four. But I'm up against Bill Hillgrove, a Steelers legend, and a legendary announcer. I need your guys' help if we're going to continue. Now, I've agreed to do this punishment that I was asked about, and I would if I win the entire thing, I have agreed to take a tequila shot for every percentage that point that I win it by. But if I don't win the whole thing, I'm not doing that. I'm not punishing myself. So Tyler Aldridge, the guy who said that I should try to do that even if I lose, I'm like, that defeats the point. The whole point was to get people to vote for me. And so get out of here, Tyler. But anyways, thanks to all those who do that. Also, that's part of the benefit of being in the Facebook group, that I can kind of, it gives me an easier chance to interact with you guys and know that you're locked on fans and have fun conversations like that. So again, join the Facebook group. All right, guys, wasted enough of your time. Hope you're enjoying your Wednesday. I will be at you tomorrow.